Hi, I'm Natalie Gochner. You are listening to Both Sides of the Aisle, a wonderful political commentary and public affairs talk show. And we have the right and left represented here. Sitting on the left, Senator Jim DeBacchus.
Good morning, everybody.
And on the right, sitting in for Dan McKay, who is on what I'll call election blackout because he's a candidate for the Senate and the state Senate, and we are close to Election Day. So we have James Evan, former GOP chair, representing the right. Welcome, James.
Welcome. Thank you, and good morning, listeners.
Yeah, great to see you, James. James, just real quickly, give the quick 1, 2, 3 on your political bona fides.
Well, I served as chair of the Utah Republican Party for 4 years. I was a former state senator and also former chair of the Salt Lake County Republican Party.
Yeah, so, those are all good. Did you two ever overlap at all, Jim?
We did a little bit,
of Senate service.
No. Okay. I was fortunate enough to leave before Jim came.
Thomas Wright.
Hey, there have been a lot of serious news items, and this week among the most serious were these packages that were delivered with explosive devices in them. They went to Hillary Clinton, President Obama, George Soros, the former CIA director, John Brennan, former Attorney General Eric Holder, return address had on it, DNC chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I hate it when things like this start popping in the news in the morning as you're headed to work. Jim, what does this say about our society?
This is up to the moment with our society. When you have a president of the United States who stands up and advocates violence against the media, against women, against political opponents, it filters through. Maybe not to everybody, but as they chant, lock her up. We've never had this kind of leadership. It is irresponsible. And you have to understand that when you're president, every word matters, and this man is oblivious to that. And I think he's directly responsible for setting the kind of tone that allows people to justify in their heads, I need to deliver this. It's another despicable act.
James, he's pointing, you know, most things that Jim doesn't like get to the White House pretty quickly. Some get there too, but your quick commentary.
Yeah, I understand Jim's point of view. Basically, what he's saying is that we're not sovereign individuals that can make up our own minds, that government controls everything that we do. I didn't see this kind of outrage from Senator DeBacchus when Steve Scalise was shot, you know, by Bernie Sanders supporter. So I think it's important that we don't assign these actions to a political figure, but we need to look inward as a society and say, what are we doing as sovereign individuals?
Yeah. James, if you had to predict, where do you think these are coming from? Just what you're seeing and the people that were targeted?
You know, it's hard to predict. I think that it could come from some of anybody. I mean, there's just so much craziness out there right mm-hmm. now. I mean, you can be cynical and say that the Democrats are behind this to make Trump look bad. So I don't even want to get into the speculation. I would like the FBI to really get down to who did this and prosecute them. None of our political figures, right, left, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, should be exposed to this, nor should any American citizen.
Yeah. Jim, I don't know if you want to say anything more, but I will say that, you know, I heard the news as I'm coming into work, but then I went right into a closed meeting, so to speak, and was, you know, phone off, everything. And I just, in the back of my mind, I just thought, I hope things aren't falling apart out there. You know, because if some explosives did go off and if it set off some chain reactions, it just, I hate this stuff. I don't like this.
Unfortunately, It is the life we live in, and I predict it's either going to be a 20-something young punk, or it's going to be a 68-year-old guy, and they are devotees to Fox News, and they are
MSNBC.
I'm just picking
or CNN. Yeah,
James, let's go to another topic. I know you spent time in the military. I think you lived in Saudi Arabia for a time. Is that right?
Yes, used to train the Saudis.
So this has been so disturbing, watching this whole, I don't know what to call it. I mean, it's just a scandal what Saudi Arabia's done and what we're seeing, you know, come out with people wearing the clothes that the journalist was wearing as he walked in and wearing a wig for the cameras. I mean, there's just all this stuff that you're like, what is going on? But in the back of my mind, you have Senator Mike Lee, who's called for the removal of U.S. forces in the Saudi war on Yemen after the death of this journalist. Your quick commentary.
Well, living over there, we used to see public executions where you could see someone be beheaded or are lashed in public, and capital punishment is just the par for the course. We're naive in the West, not truly understanding how things are done over there. And so for me, this journalist being murdered is not a surprise. I mean, that's how they take care of their political rivals. Mm-hmm. So the question then becomes is that with respect to the West in the United States, what should we do? Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to look out for what our interests are. I think we've gotten out of nation building. And the bottom line is that if this is how they do business all day, every day, and I can speak to that from living over there, I don't think that any American politician should be surprised.
Hmm. Jim, what should the U.S. government be doing? I mean, they have revoked visas of some of the suspects. The president's been, you know, I think less than admirable in the way that he's responded to it, because he's not thinking about protecting the U.S. citizen and setting high standards, but rather, you know, what's our economic interest here?
There's always a tension in foreign policy between pragmatism and our values. And I think if you go back in history, every time we're pragmatic and every time we try to make a deal with the dictator, mm-hmm. it turns out bad.
Arms when for America's, hostages or whatever.
Or look at our policy with Iran. I mean, go back to Mossadegh in 1953. Whenever we've made those decisions,
or Obama,
based on the immediate goal of dollars or whatever, it turns out bad. When America stands for its values, it always turns out right, and mm-hmm. we ought to do that.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, like when President Obama gave the Iranian regime hundreds of billions of dollars to try to bribe them not to develop nuclear weapons, now you see them take that money and expand terrorism actually right into Yemen. Well, and I remember how Yemen used to operate, and now they've become, a force for Iran and attack Saudi Arabia, which is why you have that war. So you're right, Jim. Every time we don't follow our values, this is what happens.
If you want to talk about what happened in 1978, before the fall, the Iranians had paid $150 or $60 million for some arms, which we never delivered, which we put that money into escrow. And as a part of the larger deal, the Iranians said, you know what, that's not your money. You never delivered the payments. It's in escrow. We want back our money. And the United States did return that as part of a broader term. So to say that somehow paying them off, terrorists, that may be the way you want to look at it, but that's not exactly, I think, the way most people would see it.
I have another real, sobering topic to bring up, but it's one that's much more local. Lauren McCluskey, the student athlete at the University of Utah who was murdered on campus. Wow, this has been really tough. So I was in Price, Utah when this happened with 25 other University of Utah employees doing some work down there in coal country. So we start getting the texts because we're all on the alert system, shut down in place, and you get updates every 20 minutes or so with instructions from the university family about what to do. And so for all of us to just be living this live fire on our phones, and then to see what we have here with a young woman who's talking to her mother on the phone and gets abducted and then is murdered, and then the police, this is just really sad. And I just, I want each of you to just say something. The quick thing I'll just say is I love the way my employer, the University of Utah, our president, Ruth Watkins, handled this. We, by 3 a.m. in the morning, had an email from our president explaining all that had happened and what we needed to know and expressing her love for the student and the family.
Sad day for Utah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My heart and prayers go out to Lauren's family, and as a community, we need to come together around this.
In our next segment, we're going to talk about the Tribune Editorial Board political endorsements. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle on KCPW. For more episodes of all our in-house podcasts, click on the Local Programs tab at kcpw.org. And while you're there, please consider a donation to KCPW to support public radio in your community.
I'm James Evans on the right.
Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Natalie Gochner in the political center. You are listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. Salt Lake Tribune has now done their editorial endorsements, picked their candidates, who they are as an editorial board, from the voice of the paper, the conscience of the community, who they're picking and urging us to support, they made some kind of interesting decisions. I just, as background, get your comment on this, but I remember when Dean Singleton purchased the Salt Lake Tribune, came in and visited with Governor Leavitt, basically said, I own the Park Record, I love it here, I'm buying the Tribune. And, you know, so that started that period. About a year or two later, he made the decision to start doing political endorsements, and the Tribune got in the political endorsement world. I'm going to say that was in around the 2005, 2006 period. Might have my dates a little off, but hasn't always been their history. The real competing paper, the Deseret News, does not do political endorsements. And so here we sit with one major paper doing them, one not, and leave it to the Tribune to come out and endorse Governor Romney for the Senate and Mia Love for the House, which surprised a lot of people. Jim, let's go to you first, and then we'll go to James. You guys got the Jim and James thing going on for me.
I believe that editorial pages are not journalism. They are the voice of the owner of the paper. And I think Huntsman is smart enough to recognize that if his editorial space reflected his personal political views, that he'd only have five subscribers, because the Tribune's editorial page is nothing like endorsing Mia Love or Mitt Romney. But once every 2 years or every 4 years, if the owner says, you know what, it's my damn paper and I'm going to endorse who I will, there it is.
Yeah. James, let's go to you. But as I toss it over to you, I just want to say that I really like the editorial function of a paper. So you have the reportorial where they're, you know, independent, giving both sides and letting, you know, the reader, the viewer decide. And the editorial, which is where you actually take an opinion, hence the opinion page. And in most papers, including in the Salt Lake Tribune, these things are very, there's like a wall between the two. In the past, they used to be on different floors. I mean, it's a real different function of a paper. So I don't ever confuse the two. James?
Well, you're right. I've never, because there have been times when a story was done that was in favor of the Republicans that we were able to get the Tribune to write, and then the editorial side didn't appreciate that, so they made sure that they took it out on me on that side. So it is the opinion of the editorial writers. I know that Jim is saying it's the actual the owner.
When they have the opinion you like them, and when you don't, you curse them.
But it's their opinion, and in this case, these are no-brainers. I mean, having a Mitt Romney in the Senate can really help.
James, can I just – let's go back and forth for just a second.
Yes.
Because at least when I saw the Kavanaugh hearings and I saw the makeup of the U.S. Senate, I think this is the biggest argument for Jenny Wilson. In other words, we got plenty of people just like Mitt Romney back there. But here's a woman who's young, who's a female, who's a longstanding Utah, who understands our values. She's certainly smart. I mean, I think you could make the argument that she would offer a lot to the U.S. Senate, and that the Tribune maybe would have seen that.
Well, am I missing something? Are we now choosing candidates based off of their genitalia or their race? Or are we doing it off of their... You know, there are accomplishments.
I mentioned both.
Curious.
I said she's a very competent, you know.
I don't look at gender or race. I look at the quality of the individual and the resume that they built up and what they can do for Utah.
Yeah.
And those that look at race and gender and all of that, that's identity politics. And I'm sorry, I just can't go there, because that is the furthest thing we should be as a nation. And unfortunately, from the political left and many moderates, they cling to identity politics, and I think that harms the public discourse.
Yeah, interesting. Jim, let's get your comment. But as I toss it to you, I'll just say that personally, it would mean a lot to me as a woman to have women in the body that represents me. Now, I'm a huge Romney supporter, but I love women in elected office. Jim?
You know, people like their tribe running things. And whenever their tribe is in control, they say, hey, this has nothing to do with tribe. It's only the best person I want. But the people whose tribe is not running things say, hey, we need more diversity. We need more things. I'll tell you, say what you want, James. We don't need another 70-plus-year-old white guy in the United States Senate, period. We just don't need him. We got enough. Call me names. Call me gender identity politics. We don't need another one, and all I would put out as evidence is the Kavanaugh hearing. We had a lot of those old guys who just don't get the world, and they're not the best candidates, and they're not the best qualified, and they're not doing America justice.
Well, I'll just respond with the Martin Luther King Jr. quote. I judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And the fact that you want to focus on the fact that Mitt Romney happens to be a white man instead of what he's accomplished and, you know, focusing on Jenny Wilson for being a woman, those are things that I don't think advance the cause of discourse in our nation. We need to look at what they stand for and what they can bring to the table, as opposed to what their gender is or what their race is. So as a black man, yeah, I'm okay with Mitt Romney.
Yeah. James, I want to read just from the Romney editorial where they just said it's a unique opportunity to replace Hatch's seniority with Romney's firepower. So that was their approach, and that's nice. And then I just also want to say, when I was making the case for Wilson, I didn't focus just on her sex and her age.
You led with that.
I said her values. I said her longstanding, you know, understanding of this community and her competency. So her character, I didn't leave that out.
Right.
Okay. Hey, let's go to love. Let's go to love. So, you know what the Tribune...
All we need is love. You're trying to calm us down.
So Representative Mia Love and Mayor Ben McAdams in the most competitive race out there for us in Utah. The Tribune said that they endorse Love because she's, quote, building experience and success in Congress is a long-range project, while Love is only seeking her third term, tossing her out just as she's finding her way would be a sad waste. So they're making the case that she's getting better with time, and we've invested in her. Let's keep her there. James?
Well, let's finish the other part.
Okay.
And one of the things Love has accomplished in her brief time in office has been a demonstration of bipartisanship that stands to serve both Utah and the nation as well. And Mia Love, Representative Mia Love, is known for her bipartisanship and being able to get things done in even in her short time. Mm-hmm. So even the Tribune editorial board can see that.
Jim?
Incompetent. Totally out of touch with constituents. Claiming she's had 84 meetings, town hall meetings.
85,
but there isn't one of her constituents that were invited. You know, when you have a staff meeting and you say, oh, by the way, this is a town hall meeting, it doesn't count. She is afraid of her constituents. She won't hold an open hearing. She won't hold a town hall meeting. At least Stewart had guts once to come and hold a big hearing and talk to the constituents and see them face to face. As far as bipartisan, how? And there she is voting with the Republican machine to do away with pre-existing conditions. There she is in thing after thing that are hurting Utah families. And Mia Love is just part of that cog, just casting another Trump vote, just there without her own ideas and without our Utah values. Heaven help us from a Mia Love with more experience and more power on Capitol Hill.
Hey, from the political middle.
Also, wait a minute. Is this where you're okay with the white guy then?
I'm just trying to understand the rules.
Just trying to understand the rules. So
hey, James,
Jenny Wilson was okay, but not Mia Love. I just like to try to understand what the rules are.
James, fair enough. Okay. But I will add from the political middle, I think one of the calculus you have to think about a little bit in this one is are Republicans or Democrats going to be in the majority? Because that has a lot to do with how powerful this person will be. So a Mia Love in a House that's controlled by Democrats isn't as effective, I don't think, as a Ben McAdams.
Either way, we have one party represented in our whole delegation.
Yeah.
And the answer is yes.
James, I know what Jim's going to say, but I just want to ask you, in your, you know, political tea leaves, do you think the House stays Republican and the Senate stays Republican? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm confident that the Senate will stay Republican, and I'm increasingly more confident that the House will be Republican, simply from just looking at the visual images of this migrant caravan coming to the United States, and you look at the early indicators, mm-hmm. Republicans are outvoting Democrats in early voting. There is a huge resurgence of just belief that it's time that we take control of our nation from this craziness that you saw in the Kavanaugh hearings and this craziness that you see where, because the political left doesn't get its way, it gets to disrupt society and scream and yell and kick and holler until you do what they say. Mm-hmm. I think that has turned a lot of people off to Democrats, and I think you're going to see the Republicans hold the House.
We'll have to get Jim's commentary, but as we do that, Jim, so 24,000 new voters have registered in Utah in the last month. I'm wondering who they are. You know, what's the makeup of those folks? Both the Tribune and Deseret News are reporting that new registration for Democratic voters is up 3-1 over those registering as Republicans. You got to think that these initiatives, whether it's, you know, Medicaid expansion or marijuana for medicinal purposes, you got to think better boundaries, that this is driving voter registration and potentially turnout.
So if you take an even race and then you throw in these new voters, it makes it even more even. I really do think it's incredibly close. But I want to talk to the voters for 1 second here in response to what James said. And I believe this is a fundamental issue. The Republicans see the giant issue is this horrendous, heart-wrenched group of 5,000 or 6,000 people that are fleeing rape and fleeing gangs and fleeing violence. And when I saw them, I thought, oh my gosh, what should we be doing to help these people from Honduras and El Salvador? How can we help them there? And what Mr. Trump is doing, and the Republicans in Utah, shamefully, are creating this whole thing that this is it. They're coming to destroy America, and we're going to put the military. And putting aside the real core issues that affect Utahns, like pre-existing health care, the deficit completely rolling out, now the stock market, focus on the stuff of these families and women and children that are thousands of miles from the border and pretend all the rest of this stuff isn't happening. That's what people need to remember when they vote for Ben McAdams. They are voting to go on the real issues, not on these made up kind of the caravan is coming fear.
Well, James, you get a rebuttal, and then we're going to go to Las Vegas.
Yes, I like to just respond to that. First, Jim keeps throwing out things that are not true. Mia Love is not against supporting pre-existing conditions. It's just this constant misrepresentation. And the fact that the Tribune editorial board has decided to endorse her, I think, is a signal about the fact that she's doing an excellent job. And respect to the caravan of migrants, which is up to about 10,000 now, and a second caravan on the way. These people that are in need could be settled in Mexico today with the help of the United Nations. They already have a process in place to do that. The question is why do they not want to be settled in Mexico if they're just trying to escape hardship? They could be settled in Mexico and be cared for there. So the question then is why wouldn't Jim DeBacchus and others support an effort like that? So what's really behind just trying to get them to come and storm our borders and is coming to our country without being processed properly and coming in the legal way?
The legal way is for people to come to the border, say, I have a case, to get a hearing, and then they're either sent out or not. The whole thing is completely messed up.
Because of the Democrats.
And you're in charge of everything. So when are you going to take responsibility? Why don't we have immigration laws that actually work?
Well, I think that's what President Obama promised when Democrats controlled the House and the Senate and the presidency. He promised in the first 90 days he would address immigration. That didn't happen. It went to the back of the line, just like the agenda for Black America went to the back of the line. So you only use these issues to get votes. You never use these issues to govern.
You've been governing 2 years. How come we don't have any immigration law?
I feel like I'm being left out of the conversation. Okay, but on this one, I won't be. We're going to go to Las Vegas. Jim, you made news this week. I don't know exactly what you did. I've been out of town. But you went to Las Vegas to try some marijuana. I guess you've never been high before?
No, I'm embarrassed to say. And I won't ask the panel if you've ever used marijuana.
Been high and I've never drank.
There you go. So that's the problem I found with James is fine. But I looked around the Senate last Wednesday and I saw 29 senators. And I thought, you know, it may well be we're going to decide this issue, marijuana, for medicinal purposes. And nobody in this group, and perhaps out of all 104, Nobody knows what this is about. We see the patients. We see the shaking. We've been in their homes. We've seen the testimony. What's the other side of this? What is the great dragon on the other side?
Yeah. Wow.
So I took it. And I did it on video. You can see it on Senator DeBacchus on Facebook.
That's good.
Senator
Jim
DeBacchus.
Jim, I would appreciate it if you didn't light up in here. You know?
Yeah. Hey, we have less than a minute left on the program. We have to do quick gripes. I don't know, James, if you know we do this, let's start with Jim, a really quick gripe.
I'll go ahead, and if there's time,
James,
I'll take
you got
it.
Something you want to gripe about?
Yeah, I'll just gripe quickly that the media is not covering. I've been asking this story about this over and over and over again. Why was Ben McAdams' campaign bus at a Salt Lake County government maintenance facility where taxpayers' expenses used?
Okay, that's a fair gripe. My gripe is going to go back to marijuana. I'm just really bothered that people are treating it like a miracle drug, and I think it's so much more complicated than that, and I'll just leave it at that. Been a great program. James, thanks for joining us. Jim,
thanks for having
Jamie
me.
Always
fun to
thank
be with you.
Thank you for coming.
And our program's produced by Emily Means. Thanks for listening.